Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This particular conversation is not only about Whitey Herzog, but what it was like to grow up with Whitey Herzog. Imagine if he were your dad. And not only do you spend your childhood at the ballpark going to games, then a little bit older, you start stopping by the house and you see Stan Musial just sitting there, Bob Gibson, Jack Buck. What a life that must have been. Jim Herzog is the guest. I've gotten to know Jim a little bit over the years. We have some mutual friends. And let a couple of days pass since Whitey Herzog had died, and I wanted to get the family's input. So Jim was gracious enough to share some stories, and I was always curious, what was it like leaving Kansas City to come to St. Louis? A little bit of a leap of faith. Whitey, for a little while, had the Royals up and running, playoff contender, and not only playoff contender, but in the playoffs every year. And then there's the personal side of it. Getting into Cooperstown, the Hall of Fame, what did that mean to Whitey? He had to wait a while. And most people felt if he had won a second World Series, that would have gotten him into Cooperstown earlier. But also the marriage to Mary Lou, 71 years of marriage. So Jim Herzog, Whitey's son, there are three children, two boys and a girl. So Jim is also going to speak at the celebration of life, which will be later on when the family has a private ceremony, to talk about the one, the only, Whitey Herzog. Cardinal legend, I think that's fair to say. The brand Whitey Ball still resonates, not only with fans, but with players. Victor Scott II is 23 years old, and he talks about his love of Whitey Ball and his speed and wanting to be just like Whitey Ball. It's amazing. That name, that brand just continues to live on with Cardinal fans. Coming from the Pasta House Studios, as always, you know all about Pasta House. Get online at pastahouse.com. Let them do the cooking for you. Everything's made fresh daily. Also, Appliance Discounters, Triad Bank, Marie Davila Senior Living, and the MAC, the Missouri Athletic Club. I'm sure Whitey has been there many times over the years, probably hanging out with his buddies, Jack Buck or Stan Musial. MAC-STL.org. Let's get to it. A visit with Jim Herzog. And on the line with us is Jim Herzog, one of Whitey's three children. And Jim, first, condolences. Your dad was a really special guy. We know that. And I'm wondering, you, your family, have you been able to even take in some of the stories and remembrances from so many who played and so many who just loved your dad?
Oh, thank you, Martin. We certainly have. I mean, just the outpouring of love that we felt so far, it's a bit overwhelming, but it's awesome, you know, just to know that he touched so many lives in a positive way, and you know, it's just awesome. And yeah, it's hard when, especially the interviews and the highlights and everything that I see, that kind of was when the tears start welling up, the music, the, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's just so many great memories. So.
Yeah, the thing about your dad, too, is, and it wasn't just his great baseball mind when he was in the game. We're talking recent years, months, where he could break down the Cardinals' bullpen. Did you ever marvel at just how in tune he was? And even at 92, I mean, incredibly sharp.
Yeah, he knew the game. And I've had, you know, and you probably had former players say, I mean, just, I think, you know, I saw Andy Van Slyke's comment the other night, you know, where a Mets player said, you know, mm-hmm. you guys, feels like we're down 1-0 because you guys got Whitey, you know, before the game starts. And I was in a unique situation. You know, I was in high school when he was in Kansas City, I was in high school in Kansas City. And so I was able to, after every game, he'd come home and I would ask him, like, okay, why'd you do this? Why'd you do that? You know, so I learned a lot of how he was thinking, and, you know, and then it kind of ruined me, because then I'd watch, you know, other games, and it's like, why is it, isn't he doing this? You know, as far as the other manager or whatever, you know. So, but yeah, he was definitely sharp, and just the way he treated people. Again, I think that's why just the outpouring of love that we've seen, you know, still exists. And yeah, you know, he always offered his services, you know, his experience to, you know. I mean, you know, Tony really didn't need it, you know, because Tony has his own Hall of Fame career. But, you know, Matheny, Schultz, you know, Ollie, you know, just, you know, hey, you know, if you ever want to talk, or if he would see something that he might say, you know, you might want to think about this next time, you know, he would always try to offer that to those guys.
So. I think those are some of my favorite stories we had. We talked to so many people, but Mike Matheny, I knew they were friends from even before Mike managed, because his father-in-law, Dick Shaper, and then hunting and fishing. But it cracks me up because Mike said, well, he would call me and he had my back when people were ripping me for, because he knew exactly why I did it. He said, then the next time he might call and say, what in the hell were you thinking? And I said,
right.
Your dad, I just think he had this ability to critique things and almost zing you a little bit, but it never really stung. It was just a certain skill that he had where he could be critical, but I didn't feel like it ever really wounded anyone.
Right. Yeah. Or yeah, he could kind of tell you off, but be laughing, you know, kind of laughing. And so it didn't feel like he was telling you off, you know, so.
Yeah, I think his humor was also a little under. I said it on TV. He could have been a roast master with some of the lines he had. And how about his family? Did you guys experience that? Was Jim Herzog ever on the receiving end of a good zinger?
Oh, many. You know, because he was. You know, he's always. A lot of his were self-deprecating. You know, I baseball's been very good to me since I quit trying to play and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, he just had so many funny stories and so forth, and just a real life, you know, whether it be baseball or, you know, people don't know, you know, back in the day, you know, he had to work winter jobs, and he was a basketball referee in the Kansas City area, and I was very young at that point, but I think he even did college and maybe even some ABA games back in the day. So, you know, he tells stories of him and Jack Betty, who later on became a NFL official. And just how they did games together and so forth. And just, you know, he did everything. I mean, he did brick work. I think he helped build our first house in Independence, you know, because he was doing that at the time. So, you know, his love and his efforts were put toward baseball, but he had a lot of other skills and never wasn't afraid to get his hands dirty with trying to do something else, you know. So,
what do you remember about moving to St. Louis for your dad? Because the Royals were pretty successful, and you know, I know they always would run up against the Yankees in the playoffs. But when he took the Cardinals' job as a family, the Herzog family, what do you remember about that move?
Well, I was kind of, let's see, that was in '80, I believe. So, you know, he had very much success in Kansas City, and I tell you what, if they would have done some moves that he wanted to do with the young talent he had, that he basically, you know, put Frank White in place of Cookie Rojas, who was very popular but aging, and put Al Collins in place of Veda Pinson, who was aging, and they were very unpopular moves at first, but and having a young George Brett, you know, coming to his, you know, his own, and Hal McRae and those guys, I mean, he may have never left Kansas City if they would have made some of those moves, you know, but that didn't work out. And so, you know, and he always said, you know, I mean, I think overall against those Yankee teams, they were .500 over those 3 or 4 years. But unfortunately, you know, the Yankees had Sparky Lyle and Goose Gossage, and that had, you know, to their respect, I mean, still good, but, you know, Mark Littell and Doug Bird and, you know, Steve Mingori, and, you know, just didn't have the bullpen. So when he got the job in St. Louis and Gussie gave him the GM and the manager's job at first, he, you know, that's why he traded for Raleigh Fingers and Bruce Sutter in the same day. And he called Raleigh and said, hey, Raleigh, if you're pitching in the ninth inning and I take you out to bring in Sutter, are you going to be mad? And Raleigh said, darn right I would be. And he said, okay, I'll trade you. You know, so, you know, he traded him to the Brewers. And, you know, that trade, that got them both to the World Series. They played each other in '82, you know. So that was, you know, a good trade for both teams, you know.
So. Yeah, and Milwaukee still says, if only Raleigh were healthy, because Fingers wasn't healthy during that. And it is sort of fitting this weekend. The Cardinals play the Brewers, the team, of course. Your dad got that World Series. He told me in a TV interview how until he won a championship, that 82, it always sort of haunted him. He had had a bad moment in high school at a state championship game and even coming up short in Kansas City. Do you remember him sort of expressing that or saying, man, I don't know that he felt cursed or anything, but until he got that title in 82, he felt like there was something missing.
Right, yeah, and it was almost like that year was just their year, you know, because, you know, the Braves were beating them, I think, in one of the playoff games. I can't remember what game, but then it got rained out, so they were able to kind of start over, and then the Cardinals swept it in the sweep in the Braves, and then, of course, Raleigh being hurt, you know, and the World Series, you know. But, again, it also came back to bite us because look what happened in 85 and 87 with injuries to, Vince. And
Clark was
and
out.
In 87, you know, Clark and Pendleton were hurt. And, you know, of course, the Dinkinger call, you know, in 85 and so forth. So, you know, having that one World Series and I always – wondering, I always thought that he should be in the Hall of Fame, you know, and the one World Series, they always said at the time he needed two, you know, but I was glad he got into there and that he was able to live that dream for, you know, 14 more years and go up there probably at least 8 times and just be there with the club of Hall of Famers. And I actually, since my mom can't travel anymore, I actually got to go up there with him last year and actually stay with him. So be at the hotel with all the players and, you know, it's what a great experience that was, and just you walk down to breakfast, and hey, there's Derek Jeter and his family, and hey, there's Fergie Jenkins over there. You know, it's just hey, how you guys doing, Ted Simmons? You know, so what an incredible experience that was, and I'm just glad that I was able to do a lot of that stuff, you know, with him. So
boy, what a fun dad to have. Jim Herzog, our guest. Whitey had 3 children, 9 grandchildren, and of course Mary Lou, his wife of 71 years. You talk about records that can't be broken. You get into sports and all that. In terms of marriages, that's going to be right up there. I mean, just talk a little bit about that really partnership, because if you're in baseball, you are gone a lot and you're busy all the time. And, boy, your mom and your dad, everything. I feel like every time I had a quote from him, there was somewhere in that quote was the name Mary Lou.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, she always says, you know, when he was playing and in baseball, well, 50 years is actually only 25 because he was gone half of it, you know. But, she was very independent and did a lot of things that, you know, many women may not have been able to do. I mean, you know, he was in New York in 65, so she took 3 young kids, and drove to New York City to, you know, to find an apartment and so forth, you know, for that baseball, that summer, you know. And so, he was very strong and independent as well, but they worked together. And then when he was home, he would always make sure he spent time with us. I mean, I remember with me and my brother, because my sister was a little older, but, you know, we'd get in the backyard, and I was the shortstop. My brother was the outfielder, and he'd hit fungos to us for hours, you know. And he took us golfing. He took us hunting. He took us fishing, you know. I mean, so he definitely wanted to spend time with us and did when he was there. So
did you ever walk into the house, even in more recent years, you know, last 10 to 20, and say, oh my god, is that Stan Musial just sitting on my dad's couch? Is that Red Chaney's just hanging out at the house? I mean, it had to blow you away a little bit, just these icons of the game, and they were just kind of all just palling around telling stories.
Yeah, and I think it kind of was the other way for me, that, you know, I was kind of like, you know what, everybody puts their pant legs on one leg at a time. So I've never been afraid to go up to anybody that's famous to say hi, you know, because they're just people like everybody else, you know. And although they're very good at, you know, what they do, and but there are a lot of people in business that are very good at what they do as well. And so I just tried to not be in awe. I mean, it is hard sometimes, you know, but I mean, when he was at the Royals and I was in high school, I mean, it's like George Brett, I think he taught me how to chew, like, the chewing tobacco with bubble gum wrapped around. So he was actually kind of doing that kind of stuff, and for me, instead of being in awe, he was just, he would always joke around with me and stuff, So they're all just regular people, but they're just very good at their craft. I mean, just like Dad was, and I think that's one of his legacies is he could be comfortable with just a guy on the street or a gal on the street or a child, but he could also be comfortable with just a very famous person as well,
So. And I wouldn't rank him, but it seemed like that friendship with Jack Buck. I mean, we pulled the footage the other night, the great commercials where they're in the boat fishing and hauling in bush beer and whatever. But that was a pretty special relationship, him and Jack Buck.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It was, it's sad that, Gibby, Lou Brock, you just think about it. He's a kid from New Athens, Illinois, and actually, they did recently put up on the signs in New Athens, birthplace of Whitey Herzog, I think. They hadn't done that, but I know my one of my relations, Jim Newman, helped get that done over there. And so that's going to be there forever now, which is awesome. But, he used to kind of skip school to go over to Sportsman's Park to watch the Cardinals. And, the fact that, Mike Wilpon, I think, was solid on ESPN, I saw where he goes, he didn't have to go to the coast to get his glamour. He did it all in the Midwest, in Kansas City and St. Louis, and it's like there's something to be said about that, but there was no other way because he wanted to do his fishing and so forth, He could have been a great commissioner, and I think the game would be different and a lot better if he would have been, but he didn't want to move to New York, So he said, if I can be commissioner and live in St. Louis or Kansas City, I'll do it. But otherwise, I'm not interested.
I mean, I love that story. I'm like, who else tells them no or here are my conditions to be your commissioner? I mean, that totally sums it up. Jim Herzog sharing stories about the legendary Whitey Herzog. And it's such a fascinating career. And then I love hearing the backstory, too, the jobs that he held. Did he ever want to get back in the game? I mean, when he stopped managing, Costa said this to me the other day. He said, if you think about it, he said he was 58 when he stopped managing. And I'm sure there were offers and he was in the front office for California. But do you think, did he ever miss being in the dugout? Did he ever get really tempted to come back?
I think, he had like a inner ear problem. Like he could not go underneath a dashboard of a car. It would make him ill if he did that. So I think the traveling really got to him, just as far as his health. I think he definitely missed the strategic part of it, but I think it just got to the point where, he always told me, he said, if I would have stayed managing, I definitely would have died a lot early. And, as he lived in 92, I think that was probably a good point, he was with the Cards as a consultant for a while, and then he went to the Angels and kind of had the GM position to, when they had some of the young guys come up, Jim Edmonds, Chad Curtis, Tim Salmon, They were successful after he left. I think they won the World Series in, 2002 or something like that. But when it was time, he just, I don't want to fish, and I want to, do stuff with my kids and grandkids. And I'll tell you, I mean, they have so much love and respect for him. He was definitely a part of their life, and I think he made the right choice there. I mean, baseball's a tough business, as you said. I mean, he still put in, 40 years or something like that of their marriage, into it. So it was time for him, and he was happy where he was at. And, he could still do appearances and that kind of thing, and he did, and card shows, all that. But and stay in the game. Well, the Cardinals have been very gracious with that, and the Royals have too. But I mean, the Cardinals ownership has always treated him very well, as far as retiring his number and having him have a red jacket and be in the Hall of Fame. And then when he got into the National Hall of Fame, the things they did for him up there that weekend was just amazing. And it's just a good, great relationship. And even Mr. DeWitt, I mean, he's called Dad for advice on things sometimes over the years, so he's always stayed in touch but always wanted to offer help to the organization if needed. So,
about a final thought, we saw your dad 2 weeks ago at the home opener, waving to the crowd, the Jumbotron. What did it mean to him to be able to come back and kind of constantly have that affection, even though we're talking 40 years removed from Whitey Ball, but to him to kind of constantly get that love from the fan base, what do you think that meant to him?
Everything, I think. I mean, you know, first of all, I think it says something about, I mean, the fans here in St. Louis, they are very knowledgeable, and they appreciate hard work, and, you know, and that's what his teams were made of. You know, it's just like, he didn't have many rules. It's just like, go out there, play hard, hustle, be on time. And, you know, that's why guys like George Brett, a young guy, when he got there, George, you're playing third base and hitting third every day. I don't care if you make four errors or not. You just relax and go out there and play. And I think he did the same thing with Willie McGee when he came over. You know, Willie, I don't care what you do. You're playing center field every day. And I don't remember where he hit, you know, but maybe, you know, just like you're going to be out there. So it really allowed the players to relax and just go out there. And then, of course, like with Willie, I mean, you have a guy like Ozzy that, you know, took Willie and Pendleton and some of those young guys under his wing, too. So he always had the, you know, some very good he always had a good clubhouse, you know, and if he didn't have a good clubhouse, he would get rid of what wasn't good about it to make it a good clubhouse, because that was very important. You know, you got to have a team to be able to make it through the whole season and win, you know. So,
well, Jim, we appreciate your thoughts. Our best to your mom, your brother, your sister, all the grandkids, and I know Cardinal fans appreciate just sharing your dad with us all these years, but also sharing your stories with us today.
All right. Appreciate it, Martin.
Really appreciate Jim sharing those thoughts. And it doesn't matter how old somebody is when they pass. When my dad died, my wife gave me a book, and it was about people losing a parent. And it was a therapy group. And it was all these individual stories of these people that were in therapy that were discussing the loss of a parent. And this one woman was sobbing and kept saying, I can't believe it. I don't have my mother anymore. I just can't believe it. And the therapist said, I understand, but your mom was 93. And the woman said, I don't care. And I think that's the point. It doesn't matter what the age is when you lose somebody. If you have a strong bond or connection, it's always too soon. So, what a great life for Whitey Herzog, 92, and so many incredible moments packed within those 92 years, but it's still sad for the family to say goodbye. So, Jim Herzog, thank you for being on the show. And to the entire family, we wish them all the best. And thanks to you for listening to this Kilcoin Conversation, as always, from the Pasta House Studios, presented by Marie Davila Senior Living. I know Fred and Mary Kay at Marie Davila, good friends with Whitey Herzog over the years. Triad Bank, longtime sponsor of all of our segments. Appliance Discounters, also longtime sponsors. The MAC, such a great spot for really the whole family, mac-stl.org. And thanks for tuning in all the time, whether it's on iTunes, Spotify, or if you find us at scoopswithdannymac.com, great website run by Dan McLaughlin. Wherever you find us, we appreciate it. This has been the Kilcoin Conversation. We'll talk to you again soon.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.